Tonight I want to read to you from the book of Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter number 5, if you want to find your place there, and then we'll stand together and read these scriptures, as I know it is your custom and it's mine also, but not everywhere we go do they practice that, and I like it when you stand for the reading of God's Word. Chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, and that is Jesus that we're reading about here, when Jesus was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out, and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city, and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God. And they were afraid. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you tonight for moving in this place by your Spirit. Lord, we enjoyed so much the visitation of your presence upon us in our singing. And Lord, we pray now, God, that we might also enjoy your presence in the preaching of your word, that you would give to us the liberty and the anointing that only comes from above, that we might say those things that you've laid upon our heart to say. Work your will in this place tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I know I read a lengthy portion of Scripture. I don't always read that much Scripture before I preach, but I wanted you to get the whole story, though I know that you've heard it many times before, no doubt. If you've been in church any length of time at all, you've heard this portion of Scripture preached from, or you've read it, and you know that it's a mighty miracle that Jesus did in the delivering of that demon-possessed man. But I want to explore an area of this story that we might not think about so much, and that is in verse number 13, at what happened to those spirits when they went out of that man. Now, I still have the man in mind tonight, and we will talk about him and come back to him, but there's something that puzzles me here, and something that draws my attention. When I read that Jesus gave them leave, gave the devils permission to go to that herd of swine. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And so I see the reaction of these swine, pigs, hogs, whatever term you prefer, that's what they are. And I see their reaction. And it makes me want to title this message, Going Downhill Fast.
going downhill fast. Going downhill fast.
Amen. Will you help me preach for a little while tonight? Amen. This is a strange story, really, for several reasons. That Jesus would grant the demon's request raises some questions of why, you know, that Jesus would allow them permission to do what they requested. Why didn't he just send them back to hell where they belonged? Or send them to some uttermost place on the planet? But he grants their request. Why did he allow the destruction of an entire herd of pigs? What did they have to do with it? What blame was it of theirs? 2,000 pigs. Just think of all that ham and bacon wasted. Huh? And then I get this question, are demons really transferable from humans to animals? Now maybe you don't think about these things. Maybe it's not even necessary to think about. But that's the way my mind is working when I read this scripture. And I want to tell you that I believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. I believe that all scripture is breathed by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost moved men and told them, write it down. We may not always understand it, but it's there for a reason. It's important. It's significant. Amen. John said, if they would have wrote everything that Jesus did, the world wouldn't be able to contain the books, amen, about it. So why spend the time, the energy, and the ink telling us about these pigs? Because I think it's important. There's a lesson to be had here. I may not understand it, but I'm going to give you some of my ideas tonight if the Lord will help me and if you'll help me. I believe that it's possible that Jesus was using this as number one possibility. Jesus is using this as a visible demonstration of that man's condition. He's allowing the people to see outwardly what was happening to that man inwardly. All right? That's a possibility. I believe that it's an illustration, a visible illustration, an illustrated sermon, if you'd allow me to put it that way, of the influence of evil spirits. We get to see them at work when we watch this event unfold. And I believe that eventually, as we get to the end of this, we're going to see the contrast of the value of a soul. Amen. That ultimately, Jesus is showing us here that one soul is worth much more than the value of 2,000 pigs. Amen. Praise God. But I think that there's some things that we can learn here as we look at this story, where the Bible says here that when Jesus granted leave to these unclean spirits and they went out of this man and entered into the swine, the herd ran violently down a steep place. Amen. Ran violently down a steep place. Three things that come to my mind as I look at this. And let me just break it down to you this way. I see, first of all, the swine's momentum. The momentum of the swine. It's mentioned here. And it's and the words of it are dramatic to us. They tell us that these swine ran, and they ran violently down the steep hill. So I see the swine's momentum. Amen. The speed at which they ran to their destruction. The speed, the swiftness of their running towards destruction. Amen. The swine's momentum. Amen. If you'll help me preach just a little while tonight. Amen. I don't think that we understand this fully. But I can tell you this. If you allow the devil to get a toehold in your life, you'll be going farther, faster than you ever dreamed away from God. Amen. I believe, amen, that the swine's momentum here reminds us that when the devil gets in control of a life, he can swiftly
Run that life to ruin. Run that life to destruction. And if you'll think with me right now, and I'll give you permission to let your imagination run away just for a moment, you can possibly think of somebody that it still surprises you to think. It amazes you and shocks you to think how they went from the house of God to the condition that they're in right now and got there so quickly. Amen. It's amazing to me. Amen. It's because there are forces at work. There are evil spirits at work. There is a power that is innate in sin that we don't recognize. It's not just a matter of you pursuing your own personal pleasures. It's a matter that the evil that is in those personal pleasures, amen, has a demonic anointing upon it that gets a hold of a person's life and runs it swiftly to ruin. Amen. The swine's momentum is a dramatic picture of us, of what happens when a demon gets a hold of a person's life. And so we see how quickly a life can be destroyed. Think about this. The Bible tells us here, I read it to you, and you read along with me, that previously these hogs were just over there on the hillside near the mountains, the Bible says. They were near the mountains, probably at the base of the mountains in the foothills. And the Bible says they were feeding. That's what they were doing. They were just minding their own business and enjoying a good meal as much as pigs can, you know, anyway. And so they're just over there feeding, content with whatever it is that the farmer's thrown out to them. Maybe they're eating the leftovers from a recent crop of corn, and they're eating on the nubs and the stubs of what's left over, or maybe they've carried out buckets full of slop to feed the hogs. I don't know what they're eating, but the Bible tells us what they were doing before this event unfolds. And it's important, and I'll tell you why in just a minute. Because while they're over there, amen, feeding on the hillside, suddenly something happens that begins to change everything. Here's how I see it. I think, first of all, it was felt in those swine, maybe as a little bit of a disturbance. A disturbance of their tranquility. A disturbance of their peace. Suddenly there was something that was stirring in among them that made them feel unsettled. And that unsettled feeling then began to multiply into a sort of dissatisfaction. They were not interested now in the meal that had been provided for them. No, their heads are up, their eyes are full, and they are looking all around about them, and it seems like they are wildly wondering which direction they can go. They don't know what direction to go, but at this particular moment, they know that they are no longer satisfied to be here where they're at and where they have been maybe every day. Come on now. Hey man, I'm just trying to get inside this story a little bit, and we'll come back and apply it personally in a minute. But I see a disturbance and then a dissatisfaction. And they begin to move. Their feet begin to shift back and forth. And then there is a distemper of attitude that gets a hold of them. You say, Brother Blue, you've got a wild imagination here. Yes, I do. But I can tell you that what I'm saying to you so far is biblically based. Because the Bible says that they ran violently down a steep hill. They went from feeding one moment to violence in the next moment. Something was happening inside of them that stirred up some sort of distemper in them. An anger, a violence of some kind. They began pushing and shoving against one another. And out of control, this herd of swine turns into an angry mob, so to speak. And then they all shift, as it were, and move in the same direction. And before long, the whole crowd is caught up in the dilemma. as the evil spirits are moving among them. They begin as a whole, the crowd now running violently. That violence implies to me that they had wild eyes and uncontrollable actions. They really were banging into one another and trampling over each other, running violently down this steep place, heading towards their destruction. Amen. Praise God. God help me tonight. And I want to tell you that I think that really what we're reading here when we see this event, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus is showing us a mirror image of the man that previously had these demons. Amen. You may not agree with me, but I'll tell you how I see it. I believe that at one time, this man was a normal man. I'm talking about the Gadarene demoniac. I believe at one time he sat at the table with his friends and his family and enjoyed a meal, a breakfast, a lunch, or a dinner. He enjoyed conversation with his family. And day after day, everything was just peaceful and tranquil in the little village where he was raised. I don't know whether he's a teenager or a young man when it happens, but something begins to disturb his tranquility. Something begins to disturb his peace of mind. Suddenly, he is not content to be where he's always been. He begins to look out the windows towards other things, other places. He doesn't know where. Amen, Brother Barty. He wants to be anywhere except the place where he's always been. And a rebellion rises up inside of him. And a dissatisfaction wells up inside of him. He doesn't want to be in this village. He doesn't want to be in this town. He doesn't want to be with his family. He's no longer satisfied with the way things have always been. Come on now. That's rebellion at work. That's rebellion at work. And in that rebellion, he begins to shut off the kindness of his friends. He builds up a wall against them, and anger and bitterness begin to settle in. I don't know what it is he's got to be so mad about, but there's a lot of mad and angry people in this world, you know it? Hey man, you've been driving down the road, and I have too, when somebody just goes speeding by you and turn their head and start cussing you out or giving you some vulgar, sign, a symbol. I'm telling you, we're living in a crazy world. What are they so angry about? Why is everybody so mad? I'll tell you why. There's a spirit on the loose. Hey man, there's demonic activity going on in our world, in our country, in our communities, and if we're not careful, it can get into the church as well. Amen. A certain discontent that gets a hold of us, a dissatisfaction, a bitterness that comes in, an anger that settles in. I believe that this man now, he used to have a tranquil, peaceful existence. But now, amen, fights are breaking out. He hangs out with his old buddies, and before too long, it comes to fist. He's become violent. Violent to the point that the people in town say, we got to do something about this guy. He's got out of control. He's losing his mind or something. But his condition does not get better. It gets worse. Amen. So bad that now they try to tie him up with ropes, but he just breaks the ropes. They try to hold him down with chains, but he has some sort of supernatural power inside of him, and he breaks the chains. They have to run him out of town, and that's probably about the only time that they get some sense of cooperation, because the devil is glad to take this soul out of town. The devil is glad to take this man away from his friends and loved ones. The devil is glad to take this man out there to the darkness of the mountains and to live in the tombs where he will be surrounded with nothing but death every day of his life. Amen. I'm telling you that the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Are you praying for me tonight, church? Are you praying for me? I'm telling you, I believe that we're living in a world that's going downhill fast. Amen. We're living in a culture that's going downhill fast. Amen. It's frightening to see how rapidly things are changing all around about us. They're running at a feverish pitch, and they're running in the wrong direction. They're running right into the very mouth of hell. Amen. We need revival tonight. You need revival tonight. Hey man, you need to get a hold of yourself. You need to take account of the direction that you're going. And you need to ask yourself some serious questions about why you're making these choices and decisions and what it is that's driving you and forcing you in this direction. Hey man, when we're home, sometimes Sister Blue and I, we're both certified teachers in the state of Illinois, and we substitute teach. And one of the schools that we work in is an alternative school. It's a school especially for kids with a variety of problems and disorders. And some of them really do have learning disabilities. Some of them are severely impaired by autism and other types of problems that are very real. And then there are other students on the other side of campus. They are what they call students with behavioral disorders. And they are otherwise functional and normal teenagers, except that they have these behavior problems. Now, some of them, it may be a result of their learning disability. But others, we've come to find out, are in the mental shape that they're in. I'm not talking about insane. I'm not talking about a mental institution. I'm talking about real kids that have real problems. And they're having social disorder problems. They can't interact with other people because there's this anger inside them. The bitterness that's inside them. Some of them because they've been abused by people that they trusted, misused, molested. Some of them have been subjected to horrible family life, and it's a sad thing to see. Amen. Oh, God, help us tonight. Amen. I know that some of them have tried to commit suicide, and some of them they've got marks all up and down their arms. Some of those marks are from drugs. Others, it's because they practice what is called cutting. They just cut on themselves, not enough to slit their wrist open, but enough to inflict a little bit of pain upon themselves, because they hate life, and they hate going through this, and they hate being who they are, and if everybody else doesn't like me, then I just don't like myself, and they cut themselves. Or they put rubber bands around their wrist, and they snap. If you've heard of snapping, they pull that rubber band back and snap against the tender part of their wrist. Pull it back again. Snap. It's another way of inflicting a mild amount of pain upon them to remind them of the pain that is inside. It breaks my heart to see teenagers already being driven, amen, by such negative forces. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, friends, those forces are real. Those problems are real. We're living in a society that is heading downhill. And it's going downhill fast. Amen. Amen. The violent nature of our world and the ugly, vulgar nature of our world, my friend, it's out of control. What in the world, amen, has happened to us? Why is it, amen, that the women in our society give themselves to nonstop reading of those trashy romance novels and Shades of Gray and all of that junk that they're promoting today? Why is it the men spending so much time on the internet looking at those things that they shouldn't be looking at? I'll tell you why, amen, because our society is being driven by a spirit, amen. That's why, amen. Why is it that the young ladies and I found out that even some of them in our holiness churches are spending all that time reading about all that vampire stuff. Come on now. Amen. All of those vampires in the world of the undead and the blood sucking and all of that. It's nothing but demons in disguise. I said it's nothing but demons in disguise. And you can dress it up as a beautiful romantic story. But the fact is the devil is driving us downhill fast. Amen. And so they're reading their books and watching their movies while all of the young men are over there on their computer playing those nice little computer games like Resident Evil. Amen. a demonic game. A young man told me at youth camp this summer that he used to play that game. He said, I was asking him about it because I keep hearing about it. He said, Brother Blue, hey man, it is violent, it is ugly, and no Christian young man ought to be playing it, and yet it's happening. And I feel compelled to warn you tonight that your decisions can set you on a road, and that road can set you on a direction. And the direction that you're going, my friend, is the wrong direction. Amen. If you're not careful, there's going to be something get into this. Something's going to start working on you. And before too long, you're running downhill fast. Fast. Amen. Momentum. But then a direction. The direction we've already mentioned several times also, but I just want to bring you back to it to remind you that they were not in an upward direction, they were in a downward direction. Amen. Society is not on an upward path today, my friends. It's on a downward path. You can talk about evolution all you want, but it looks more to me like devolution. Amen. We are not getting better. We're getting worse. The statistics show that crime rates are 460% more than what they were about 20 years ago. That doesn't sound better to me. Immorality is out of control. We legalized it. We can't even come up with a definition of what marriage is supposed to be. That doesn't sound like we are getting a better grip on things. It looks like people running every which way, doing whatever they want to do, and expecting everybody else to just accept it. Going down. And down is always the devil's direction. It's the direction that Jonah went when he was running from God. He went down to Joppa. Hey man, he bought a ticket that was going down to Tarshish. He went down into the belly of that boat. Finally, they threw him overboard and he went down into the depths of the sea. Then he was swallowed up by a whale and he went down into the belly of the whale. Down, down, down. You start going away from God, my friend, and it is always a downward direction. I've been reading a book just this week. I actually just got it last week. It's only been on the market, three or four weeks. Joel Rosenberg writes a lot about prophecy, but he also is very knowledgeable with statistics and things that are happening, especially in the Middle East. And I follow his blog and read his other writings. And so I had a pretty good idea where this book is going. And reading the cover and reading the first few pages, you find yourself nodding your head and saying amen. But only he's taking it from a statistical point of view. He's laying out the case for the title of his book. The title of the book is Implosion. Can we turn America around in time? You know what implosion is? Amen. It's when it decays from the inside and collapses inward. Amen. He makes a case for the fact that the statistics show that economically we cannot sustain the path that we are on. Morally, we cannot continue to sustain the path that we're on. Amen. Politically, and so on and so forth, from every direction, it looks like our nation is heading in a downward direction. My friend Joel Rosenberg says in his book, the only thing that saved America in the past was two great awakenings. I'm anxious to read those chapters in that book. And he says that the only thing that will save us now is a third great awakening. We use the word revival. Amen. And we agree, don't we? Then unless we have a revival, unless we have a great awakening, unless somebody turns this thing around, my friend, it looks like we're going downhill and we're going downhill fast. Sad to me stories that I hear around the country, and I'm not going to dwell on all the negative, but I have to tell you this before I can get to the positive. But as we go around, there are some sad and tragic stories to tell. A holiness preacher friend of ours, two sons grow into adulthood, married and in the ministry, only to throw it all away. Both sons divorced and alcoholics. That's tragic to me. And I ask myself, how did it happen that they went from here to there so quickly? Just last week, the preacher where we were took us for a drive, and we pulled up into the parking lot of a beautiful little country church. Actually, it wasn't little. I just said that without thinking. A beautiful country church, but it was a rather big church. And we pulled up into the parking lot there, and he told me the story. He said the pastor of this church was a very conservative Baptist preacher. It was a Baptist church. He said, but very conservative. He preached it straight. Preached it strict. And he got a large following in the process and built this big church and all of that. And he said, but then the man started stepping over lines. He started crossing over his realm. He started doing things he shouldn't have done. Inappropriate relationships. Then immorality. And then he pointed to the place where right over there behind the church that preacher shot himself to death. How can you go from this to that? You don't know what you're playing with. You don't know what you're dealing with. You don't know where this road is going to take you if you stay on this road, my friend. This is a dangerous gamble. It's a dangerous game that you're playing. And I'm telling you tonight, I feel like God has laid it upon my heart to come and tell you that if you keep going in that direction, you're about to pick up speed, an unreasonable amount of speed, and going in a downward direction farther and faster than you ever expected to go. And then I need to tell you this. Not only the swine's momentum and the swine's direction, but the swine's destiny. You know how this ends, don't you? I said, you know how this ends, don't you? All 2,000 of them, amen, go headlong over the cliff and drown themselves in the sea under demonic influences. I said, under demonic influences. Amen. And Jesus allows us to see that. He allows us to watch that. He gave those demons permission to do that. So that when we read this story, we have a visible image of what happens when demonic powers begin to control a life. Amen. You begin to move in a different direction. You begin to pick up speed away. And finally, it leads to the ultimate goal of destruction. Amen. Destruction and death and peril and perishing. Amen. It's a horrible end. But we've already quoted the scripture tonight. Jesus warned us, the thief, the devil, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what he's after, my friend. I picked up the paper several months ago. I think it was a Saturday morning edition of the paper there in Belleville, Illinois. And on the front page, there was a picture there that kind of shocked me. It got my attention, and I read the story under it. Here was this mangled up mess of metal all wrapped up in around a tree. The front end of it almost up into the branches, and metal in every direction. And I knew it was a car. There were still a couple of tires on it. And then I found out that it was a car accident, a single car accident. It was a young man driving at the paper said, undetermined rate of speed. But I looked at that picture and I could only imagine how fast it was going. And I stared at that picture, and then I realized that the photographer caught something in the foreground of the picture. Standing there on the road, he snapped a picture, and right before him, in the middle of the lane, was one man's shoe. One man's shoe. And I looked at that shoe, and I looked at that car, and I looked at that shoe, and I looked at that car, and I began to realize that here was a young man that somehow or another, amen, how rapidly men deteriorate into sin and self-destruction at a high rate of speed. And that's the direction you're going, my friend, unless God gets a hold of your heart tonight and you get a hold of God. Amen. I said that this is a mirror image. I believe it is a mirror image of this man's life and possibly a mirror image of his story and how he went from point A to point B and got there so rapidly. Amen. But we know tonight that this is not the end of the story. I said it's not the end of the story. This man is a miserable man. Yes, he is. He has a legion of demons in him. No telling what they all represent. The Bible says it's an unclean spirit. Amen. No telling what all ugly, dirty things are in him and on him. Amen. But the Bible also gives us a picture of him. He's crying. Night and day, he's crying. All through the night. All through the day, he's got his dwelling among the tombs. He's out there in the dark all by himself, and he's crying. He's alone. He hates this life. He wishes to die. He picks up sharp stones, and he cuts himself, the Bible says, like those young people I was telling you about earlier. He's cutting himself and cutting himself. He doesn't want to live, but he doesn't want to die either. And this man's in misery. But all of a sudden, amen, he sees a little boat pull up on the shore down below. He's got the vantage up there in the foothills, and he sees this little boat pull up on the shore, and a man gets out of the boat. He's never met before, at least I don't think. We don't know that he has him. But something about that man catches his attention. He begins to realize there's something different about that man. And whether it's a demonic revelation or what, he knows that that's the Son of God. And he goes running. That man goes running towards Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I'm glad that somewhere in him he was able to muster the strength, Brother Kyle, to go past the forces of hell and the forces of sin and the forces of demons. Amen. And follow his heart that was telling him that help was within reach. Help was within view. And somehow or another, if he could just get to that man, it could be better if he could just get to Jesus. Amen. And so he runs to Jesus and he falls down and he worships him. Amen. But he's not delivered yet. So the voice is going back and forth. There's a voice of a desperate man who wants help, who doesn't want to live this way. He wants out of the trap that he's in. But the voice of the demons is crying out also in the great war, the great struggle. Not unlike the struggle that some of you are having here tonight. You feel the pull of the world. You feel the call of your friends. You feel, amen, the desire for fun and pleasure and all of that. That's right out there. It's pulling on you right now, calling to you right now. And yet you know what I'm telling you tonight is the truth. And you're heading towards destruction. And Jesus is coming soon. And this world is in decline. And it's getting bad. And you know that that's true. And back and forth, you're wrestling in your heart tonight. Amen. And so this man, he overcame a lot to get there. But he did get there. Praise God. I'm so glad you're here tonight. Some of you worked hard today. You may have had lots of obstacles in your way, but you're here tonight, and I'm glad that you're here. You pressed past some things. Why? Amen. Why are you here tonight? Amen. Well, it's just what we do. Well, if you're a normal, dedicated church member, you're right. But, amen, if you've been struggling, why is it that you chose to be here on a Tuesday night? Could it be that you know you need help and you know where your help comes from? I want to recommend that you press on past the obstacles in your life and get to Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Amen. In spite of what the devil say, Jesus discerns the difference. And He knows that down in the depths of that man's heart is a desire to get away from this way of life. To get out of the chains that have held him bondage for so long. He wants to be free. Praise God. And Jesus knows that. Jesus knows that. Amen. And Jesus sets him free. Oh, glory. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Praise God. Jesus knows the value of a soul. Nobody knows the value of a soul like Jesus knows. I said Jesus knows the value of a man. He knows the value of a woman, of a young person. And He knows the value so deeply that He was willing to carry our sins to the cross and die that horrible and shameful death and pay the price for us because He understands and knows the value of a soul. Let me tell you something tonight. This man... This story is evidence to us that this one man is more valuable than 2,000 hogs. Amen. It shouldn't surprise us, though, because Jesus said, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father. But the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." He knows the value of a soul. Let me tell you, I was out in California here a while back, well, several years now, but my stepdad took me on a drive and showed me this acres and acres and acres of what used to be an industrial park. And it was all surrounded by fence, all locked up. And there's all those warehouses and factories all shut down. Nobody around except a security guard. All the jobs gone. And my dad said, "You know what happened here?" I said, "No." He said, "They shut this all down because the environmentalists found a very rare sand flea." That makes me angry. I said, that upsets me. Amen. God knows that a man and his family are of much more value than a sand flea. Now listen, I didn't come to pick a fight with environmentalists tonight. Amen. You can hug a tree all you want to, but God loves a soul more than He loves a tree. Amen. God help us tonight. I want you to know how much Jesus loves you. I want you to know how much He cares about you. I want you to know that He'll go the distance to get to you if you'll be honest and sincere with Him. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're fighting against. And He's here to set you free tonight if you'll mean business with Him. I said He loves you. He cares about you. LaDonna, if you'll come up and get us a song here and get ready. We're going to close this down. I'm glad tonight to tell you, again, I didn't come to pick a fight with environmentalists, tree huggers, or animal lovers. But I'm going to tell you that Jesus did not die on the cross for dogs, horses, cows, or pigs. He created them. He loves them. They were all His idea. But He died on the cross to save men and women, boys and girls, you and I, loves us. And it doesn't matter who you are. I'm not a singer, but if I was, I'd say, it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. Jesus is softly calling. Demon-possessed man, wild and lonely in the hills. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is calling. If you're saved tonight, I want you to lift your hands and thank Him for it. And praise Him that you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, He's forgiven you. Think about this tonight.
It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly calling, but because of who He is, and because of where He's been, because of what He's done, you can start all over again.
America, America, we can turn it around, but not with our own strength or power. We've got to humble ourselves before Almighty God, confess our sins, repent and call on Jesus. He'll save us. But I'm not preaching at the White House tonight. I'm preaching at the church house in Martinsville, Virginia. I'm not preaching in Washington, D.C. I don't have that kind of voice or microphone to preach to a nation. But I can tell you from my heart that God's laid this message on me for this service. Please, don't keep going in the direction you're going. Run to Jesus tonight. He's in the house. He's here. Did you see His boat just pull up? Run to Him.
It doesn't matter who you are.
Stand with me tonight.
It doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. Jesus is softly calling, but because of who He is, and because of where He's been, because of what He's done, you can start all over again.
If I have any regrets, it's maybe that I've preached so long that I've wore you out. But this is heaven or hell. This is life, death. This is serious. Let's not get in too big of a hurry here tonight, okay? Can I beg of you that? Amen. I don't know if you're the man or the woman that's been out there in a wicked world, caught up in it, and you come in tonight looking for a way out. Jesus is here to help you, and He will. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And Brother Kyle, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You can start all over again. On the other hand, you may be one that's been in church for a long time, but a little discontentment has disturbed your tranquility. In recent days, you haven't been real satisfied in the house of God. You really thinking about going down that road? Are you really thinking about going that direction? Please reconsider tonight. Please come to Jesus. Tell Him about it. Nobody else has to know the thoughts of your heart, but He knows. It's between you and Him tonight. And you need to settle this. You need to get back in here and enjoy the good things of God and forget about the world and sin and the devil. Church, why don't you lead the way to the altar tonight? Maybe somebody will feel more comfortable if they see others moving. Come and pray tonight. Come on, we've all got something to pray about. Praying for our country, praying for lost souls, praying for our neighbors and friends. Pray for one another. Pray for yourself.
It doesn't matter.
If you're not saved tonight, if you just let me know, get my attention. I'll be glad to pray with you.
It doesn't matter.
Brother Prescott will be glad to pray with you and help you find salvation, find Jesus. Go home different.
And because of where He's been, because of what
we're anxious and willing to pray with you. Just let us know.
You can start
if you have a need tonight,
again.
You want to be set free.